Hey, it's Jeff Katurba and Otis 12, and we're talking about a few of our selections from our top 10 during the fun drive. Ben Rasmussen asked us to pick our top 10, all the staff members here, and well, we thought we'd do a little morning classics top 10 riff, as it were.
Yeah, it's weird, you know, ask for a top 10 out of 500 years of music. What's your top 10?
Well, I don't know about you, Otis, but my top 10 kept changing, and I kept thinking, yeah. Oh, this one. And then, you know, when I'm doing the show on Wednesdays, I'll sometimes say on air, oh, this is one of my favorite pieces. And then a few minutes later, I know.
That's kind of the way it works with music, especially this music. When Ben asked us to do a top 10 list, I really just did kind of top of mind, you know, whatever popped into my head.
Right, your top 10 that day.
Gone on. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know. I love melody, so that kind of dominated my list, I think. And guitars.
And guitars. I see that in your list. Do you have any that you'd like to just mention here?
Well, I think I put on my top 10 list anything with Andre Segovia performing.
You did, yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason. I mean, he's a cliche almost, you know, Segovia, classical guitar. Well, yeah. There's a reason for that. And when I grew up, I think some of the first classical guitar I ever heard is probably Ed Sullivan Show. Segovia, black and white on a little tiny TV.
Absolutely.
You know, and there he was.
Right after the guy with the spinning plates,
exactly.
And then there's Segovia.
That was the glory of the Ed Sullivan Show. Yeah. When you would hear, of course, Kachaturian, the spinning plate song.
Exactly.
But no, I mean, see, you know, Segovia just imprinted on my mind. And so that leads me to other things like Reflections of the Alhambra by Francisco Torrega. And I know that's kind of one of our, what I kind of thought of as travelogue music that you do a little bit too.
Yes.
You know, music specific to a place.
Exactly.
Let me see, you had something that really, the Grand Canyon Suite.
Yes.
There you go. Travel music.
And that's a place I've actually not been.
Really?
We talked about that during the fun drive.
That's right.
But I imagine it, and maybe I imagine it in the Disney movie that
right.
it accompanied, and all the you know photos I've seen of it over the years. I just want to mention on Segovia, I think I probably saw him on Carson, Johnny Carson as well, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it may very well have been. He was all over. He was, you know, he was the one of those crossover artists.
Exactly.
So
Then I saw Charo.
Yeah.
With a classical guitar, and I thought, she's a little different than Segovia.
She's actually, now, maybe this is a bit of a, I'm kind of going off on a tangent here. She was actually a classically trained guitarist. And actually pretty good.
And very good. I know. Yeah. That's what I recall.
Yeah,
well, so. you were talking about music tied to a place. I listed Germain Taillefer, the French composer. And pretty much any work by her, because
sounds like France.
It's all French. It's French. She was in Paris in the, really a prominent figure in the early and mid 1900s, and also because she at one time had married a cartoonist from the Kansas City Star.
Really?
Where I got my start, and I know you're from Kansas City.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And I came across that tidbit, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Ralph Barton, I think, was the cartoonist's name. So I just felt like there was this, you know, connection and thinking, Ralph Barton and Hemingway once worked at the Kansas City Star, and then maybe they all hung out in Paris at some point. I have no idea.
Yeah. But. That's the kind of thing that makes a music top 10 or top 100 list. Little things that grab our imagination or relate to us personally somehow.
Yep.
And I know you're a big, what do you call it, a Francophile?
Francophone.
No, Francophobe.
Francophone.
Different.
Oh, Francophone is the language, and Francophile is.
Yeah,
exactly.
Something like that.
No, and you have the Moldau.
Moldau. Because I love melody, and it's just gorgeous.
Yep.
And every time I hear it, I go,
yeah.
You know, and then I think, that's too mainstream. You know, it's too obvious. But every time I hear it, I go, it's obviously great for a reason because it's great.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And I got Piazzolla, and you've got Piazzolla too, because of Nuevo Tango. You know, I'm a Robert Duvall fan.
Oh, man, how can you not? Well, back to the Moldau. That's, I think, German for Vltava, the Vltava River in Czech Republic. But now that's a place. You haven't been to Prague.
I have not been to Prague.
You've traveled. You're a European
guy. I have read Franz Kafka.
Yeah.
So I'm ready.
Yeah.
But no, I have not. I have not seen the castle there. And I mean, it's fabulous. I have so many friends who have gone and say, yeah, go. So, so far, I have the Moldau, which, as you said, is the German title because it was a German publisher, I think.
Ah, okay.
And, of course, Smetana, it is the Vltava River,
right? Yeah, Vltava. Yeah, so, and I think that's, for you, I'm just curious, like, what imagery that conjures up for you?
I don't know. It just, it does conjure up Prague in a sense, in my imaginary version of Prague, you know, all the travelogues or anything.
Maybe it's better because it's very touristy.
All the spy movies I've seen set in Prague, you know. But the river, I mean, it's just such evocative music. It's such powerful music. Mm-hmm. So, and that works too. I've got Rodrigo, Concierto de Aranjuez, which is a walk through the royal gardens out there. Gardens built by a particularly terrible king, Philip. I forget his name. Philip the Fifth. I don't remember the guy who did the Armada and the Inquisition. And no one expects the Spanish Inquisition. You know, just a real terrible person, really. But he set up these gardens, and that's a tour through the, and that's amazing. So. And I don't even have some of my other favorites on here, you know?
Well, I know I'm looking at my list too, but I did include Chopin. And I know that when I'm doing the show and I need a fill piece, he's one of my go-tos, you know? And he just can't beat it. And the Raindrop, you know, prelude, he wrote, I think, 24 preludes in honor of Bach, whose birthday's coming up, by the way, on March 31st.
Yeah, that's right, big happy concert.
Bach birthday, Bach day. But... and not to be confused with the Bach socks. Anyhow, but the Raindrop prelude is just lovely. I think the story, I don't know if it's actually true or not, but the story goes that he was at an old monastery and the wind and the rain was dripping in, and he heard this this raindrop, and I think it's A flat that just kind of drops throughout the piece. And it's, especially if it's a rainy day, you know, it's perfect. Perfect thing to play.
I love these old stories like that.
Right.
And people, you know, are they apocryphal or are they real?
Right.
You know, what's a line from The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance? You know, if it's a choice between the myth and the reality, print the myth. You know?
Right.
Because it's better, you know? It's better.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, all this music is so amazing here. And like you said, we got, you know, 500 years of music. And I could, you know, I could put something on by Hildegard von Bingen and put it on the list tomorrow because it's the last thing I heard. I don't even have a Beethoven on there. And that's, there are several.
Right.
So, you know, top 10 lists are just what they are. Just snapshots of what you were thinking of at the moment. So
absolutely. Well, maybe next time we'll tell Ben that we'll come up with our top 100. No.
But does he want our bottom 10? My least favorite. Now that would be challenging. All right.